The question for the early Christians and for the church throughout the centuries has been, why was Jesus baptized? It was the fact that he was baptized by John. They couldn't deny that John baptized him in the Jordan. And we know that Jesus was in the John's movement, but that Jesus left the movement and started his own. He didn't agree with John's vision. And so he left John, but John's disciples and Jesus' disciples were battling back and forth who was greater, John or Jesus. And of course, in the Gospels, you see it played out. If you look, it's there. Every one of the stories that we have about the baptism of Jesus has changed. John becomes less and less a person while Jesus becomes the greater, starting from Mark to Matthew to Luke, then to John, later, written much later. So why was he baptized? If John's baptism was repentance of sin, and he had no sin, then why repent? No need to. Would there be a reason for baptism, huh? So why was he baptized? If it wasn't that. And what does this baptism have to say about your baptism and my baptism? Why were you baptized? Well, by the end of the homily, you'll know. If you don't. So what the early church did, and even in all the things about Jesus, his birth, his crucifixion, his death, they went back into the scriptures, their scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. And they looked there for signs and for how can it help us to understand Jesus. And so in order to understand his baptism, the church goes back to Isaiah, which you heard today, the first reading. The first reading, Isaiah, is especially indicative of what it means and why Jesus was baptized. Isaiah gives a profile there that you heard about a servant of Yahweh, the servant of God. He describes that servant. So Jesus is the servant of God. He is the man for others, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great martyred German theologian, would say. The man for others. The servant of God is the one who places distance between himself and the aggressive lords of the earth. This will have nothing to do with violence or conquest or with justice that's based on an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. His person, his mission, his kingdom, his followers will state the case, even with their lives, that it's all about service that's expressed as love and mercy. So if you want to read the Lord's, as I read the Lord's baptism, it is his consecration by the Father as the messianic servant. That's how Matthew sees him. And that's how the other Gospels see him as the servant. In Luke, we go to Luke, and Jesus understands his mission. After he's baptized, he goes into the synagogue, and he gets up, and he reads from the scroll. And of course, that scroll is what? Isaiah. And it's about the servant. And then after Jesus reads it, he sits down. All the eyes of the synagogue are on him. And he says, this is fulfilled in your presence today. Shortest homily ever given. He sees himself in that role of servant to bring good news to the poor, to heal and to bring the blind, bring sight to the blind. That's how he saw himself. So as I read it, in other words, his personal statement in public of the ministry of service, that he was embracing this ministry of service and accepting it and committing himself to being a servant of God. So in other words, the baptism, the Lord's baptism, is a ritual statement about service, his and ours. How many people here are familiar with Albert Schweitzer? There's a decent amount of you know Albert Schweitzer. I think you all should maybe find out who he is. Most African missionaries know who he is. He's a legendary person. He is a genius. And just a few generations ago, he left his place in the pinnacle of European scholarship to build his medical compound for lepers on the banks of a river in Africa. And there he practiced his singular Christian insight that respect for life at all levels and in all forms, and no exceptions. that one is to respect life at all levels in all forms, no exception. So Albert, Dr. Schweitzer, wished on us the blessing of finding the secret of a happy life. Now, how many people are familiar with The Secret? The book and the movie. It's come out a few years ago. $1 million seller. She's written another one. I forget what it's called. But The Secret is nothing new. Albert Schweitzer knew about The Secret. Jesus knew about The Secret. Everybody knew in the past who was anybody knew about The Secret, how to manifest in this world. He said, it's service to others. That's the secret, Albert Schweitzer. And that he hoped that we would discover that early in our lives so that at the end, at death, we would not regret our lives. That we learn that it's all about service to others. Jesus is the servant of God and the servant of others. We too are in solidarity with him. We, by virtue of our baptism, are all called to be servants of God. That's why you were baptized, to continue the mission of Jesus in this world. And the ingredients of our Christian ministry of service are very clear. You can find what we're supposed to do described in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the very actions of Jesus, as well as popularized for us who are a little bit older here in the Baltimore Catechism. If you remember being taught the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, do you know those? Were you taught that? Okay, I'm going to test you on it later. Find out. I hope our children know what the corporal and spiritual works of mercy are. That's what we're to be about in this world. We were taught that as kids in school. The sisters that I grew up with, the Notre Dame sisters, they taught us the lessons in how to do the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. In fact, they would take us out. One sister would take us out. We had a big, huge plant back then, back in Boston area, where we had the school, the grammar school, the convent, and then the rectory, and then the church, and then the big, huge cemetery all around it. And the sisters, to help us to learn the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, would take us out and have us clean up the cemetery and pick up the trash. And they said that we were doing that to help souls in purgatory get out. So that, I thought, well, geez, we're doing this for a good reason then, huh? And we weren't just doing it to pick up the trash. There was a reason to do it. It was a spiritual reason. And I think they were pretty bright in saying that. To attach, when you do anything, even a menial thing, you can do it for something greater, out of love. It doesn't have to be just doing it for the sake of doing it. So the secret, let's get back to the secret. The secret to a happy life that is pointed out well before the book and movie is known by Jesus, by the saints, by the spiritual teachings of all the great religions and religious. It's all summed up in one sentence, and that is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have it done unto you. That rule is in every religion, major religion, that has ever been in existence. In some shape or form, it's that. And so the Dalai Lama told me, he said, Richard, our prime purpose in life is to help others. Well, he really didn't say it to me, but I'm just taking it. It was in my dream, okay? The Dalai and I are really close. So, we're all called to be servants. And you can do one, two, or many corporal works and spiritual works of mercy every single day of your life. So no matter how old you are, no matter how young, no matter what your work is, or whether you're retired, whether you're whatever your social status is, how much money you have, you all can be servants. You all can help others in this world. And that's what you're here for, is to help others. And let me end with Helen Keller. I hope you all know who she is, at least. Help me here, I can't see. I hope you know who Helen Keller is. She says, many persons have a wrong idea of what constitutes true happiness. She says, it's not obtained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose. That's what it's about, isn't it? And I don't think there's any greater purpose that we can that we can carry on than the mission that Jesus started. And that is to build up the kingdom of God, a kingdom of peace and justice, of equality and oneness and compassion. That's why Jesus was baptized, to go about doing good, as we hear in the Acts, or in the other reading. It was an Acts. And that's why you were baptized. You're here to help others and to go about doing good.